Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. The literary comedy Gambling for Good Mail by Evelyn Cole is a romp through contemporary Southern California culture. Self-help groups, weird addictions, drive-in religion, romance novel contest, timeshare sales, serial marriages, chiropractic manipulations, and stuffed pets, all shadowed by an unusual and tragic love story. A Connecticut transplant in King Disney's court, Felicia Wood gambles for good mail that comes from catalog orders. She runs from memories and skims the surface of life, cluttering her home with bonus gifts. Evelyn Cole, with a Master of Arts degree and a Master of Fine Arts degree, is a resident of San Luis Obispo County, California, has published one textbook on levels of abstraction, several books of poetry, six novels, including Gambling for Good Mail. Online, she's known as the Whole Mind Writer for a series of essays on ways to tap the power of subconscious mind and her astrological philosophical cooking blog. Evelyn taught English for 23 years in high school and college. She's been compared to John Steinbeck. She's the author of Gambling for Good Mail, called A Roaring Triumph, and a finalist for the prestigious Eric Hoffer Award. And Evelyn Cole is our special guest on This Week in America. Hi, Evelyn. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and what a career that you've had. So much we can talk about during the course of the program today. Well, let's start with the writing. What inspired you to start writing?
Well, because I couldn't start talking until I had to stop talking by the time I was 3 years old. And if you stop talking because your mother slaps your face for everything you say, you don't start talking until you learn how to write.
That's such an interesting, I've never had an author come up with that before, and I like that. That's what got you started writing it, and literally you haven't stopped since then. As you were writing, and I'm sure reading as a child as well, a particular novel that sort of inspired you, that caught your attention when you realized, you know, I'd like to try to do this?
Well, I didn't start writing novels until I was an adult because it's highly complex.
Yes. Do you remember the first one you read where you thought, okay, I really like this. This has captured my attention. Maybe you snuck off and read the book when your mother didn't know you were reading it.
Oh, I did that. But what I remember is that when I was 10 years old, my father was taking me grocery shopping, and so I got into his car in the garage, and he got in on the driver's side, and I made a pun. I don't remember what the pun was at all, but I'll never forget his reaction. He laughed so hard, and he ran into the house and told all the rest of my older brothers and sister and parent mother this pun that I had said. And they all laughed, and they came out, and instead of insulting me like they usually did, they congratulated me.
that
was the big start.
Yes, I mean, all of a sudden now they have you have their admiration. That's interesting how that
right.
how that unfolded. Gambling for Good Mail is the book we'll talk about specifically here in a couple of seconds after we get some of the background.
Sure.
Evelyn Cole is the author. You'll find the book available at the usual places. Evelyn's website is evelyn-cole.com. URL Inc. Publishing.com is the website, the publisher, and you'll find the book there as well. Of course, Amazon, all of the usual places. I understand you began writing what the University of Massachusetts had sort of an interesting experience there when you had to read to the class. Talk about that story and how that sort of shaped you.
A story in the University of Massachusetts?
Yeah. I understand you were there and you tried to major in mathematics, and they told you, and you've run into this throughout your career, that you can't do that.
I only had a freshman and sophomore year at the University of Massachusetts because I had to transfer to the University of Kentucky all of a sudden between semesters because my brother-in-law was on the faculty there and he committed suicide and my sister had two little babies. So I had to transfer suddenly. And then I played basketball for the University of Kentucky, which was just purely accidental.
Well, now that's interesting because a legendary basketball program at the University of Kentucky, and I understand, and this came up a couple times in your career where you were told when you wanted to major in mathematics, that was for the guys only. Talk about that. We sometimes forget what it was like for successful women coming up during that era.
You could not live if you didn't get married. You had to prepare your whole life for getting married because there was no way you could make a living yourself. That's the way it was back in the 50s.
Well, yeah, so you had to change career, and then there's a story that you're a successful copywriter. You're hired to come in and basically clean up some of the male writers' work, and you were paid less than them, and you brought it up, and they said, basically, so what? That's the way the system works, doesn't it?
Well, I was paid $350 a month, and he had to hire two new hotshot copywriters from L.A., and he paid them $1,000 a month because they were men. And then he made me rewrite their copy as well as handle my own, so I asked for the same amount of money that they got. And he said, no, you're a woman. So I quit.
That's just, I don't blame you for that at all. I mean, it's amazing. I hope we've come not all that far, but a little bit further since those days when there was such a drastic difference in the money that men made and women. I want to talk about where the idea for gambling for good male comes from. I mentioned this is receiving excellent reviews. You capture the Southern California vibe in the story of Felicia Wood. First of all, where did this story come from? And give us a little background on Felicia.
Sure. I gave Felicia that name because I didn't know anybody with that name, and it was such a different name. And well, the funny part of that is right after it was published, a woman asked my name in a exercise place, and I told her, and I asked her hers, and she said, Felicia. I said, that's the name of my main character.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. After you use it, you finally meet the first Felicia in your life.
And she was from Lithuania.
That makes it even more interesting. With us on the program
became best friends.
Evelyn Cole, the author of the book Gambling for Good Male, one of a number of very successful novels that she has written. Give me the backstory on this because it's fascinating, the scene in Southern California and what she's going through, this desire that she has to find good things in the mail.
Right. Well, I came up with it because I wanted to write a comedy, basically, and I wanted to write a satire of Southern California. So I had to have the right character for that. So I hung out in airport waiting rooms and eavesdropped. And I got four books out of that. Because people don't have anything to do in an airport waiting room except talk about their relatives. And they talked in great detail because they had plenty of time.
Yes. A lot of delayed flights, and those made great stories for you. You probably weren't unhappy at all to hear that a flight had been delayed at takeoff. So you had more time to listen in and to get all of these stories. So Felicia and this whole storyline, so some of this is based on, I don't want to say necessarily real life experiences, but
experiences in real life, because I didn't want to describe something that wasn't real. It's very definitely based on that, but the character is based on what I heard people talking about.
That's interesting. Give me a little background in Felicia. I mentioned some things just in a brief introduction for the program. Sort of give me a brief summary of Felicia, who she is and what she's struggling with in life.
Well, she grew up in New England, Connecticut, and with a very cruel aunt who raised her. And so she managed to escape to California. And it was probably around 2000, the year 2000, something like that. And so she just did an awful lot of studying, but her need to collect things was so great that everyone she married and got her came moved into her little apartment in Costa Mesa. Every single one of them left her because the place got too crowded. It was just a two-bedroom upstairs, two bedrooms upstairs, and a living room and a kitchen downstairs, and that was all there was to it. And so she kept buying stuff because she had to have good meal every day. She didn't want television. She didn't want telephones. She just wanted the meal, and she wanted the presents coming to her every day. So she ordered a whole bunch of little presents. Never couldn't remember half of what she ordered, so it was always a surprise to her. Not always, but quite often a surprise. But she got big things, too, that cluttered up. Her husband was always tripping over something. Each of her husbands, and each of her husbands left her. And she was a nurse, but nursing was too depressing to her. She just wanted to get good meal. And so she decided she'd do some sales so she could afford to buy stuff to order. And so she managed to make a little bit of money, but then she started making these dolls of her aunt, the mean aunt in Connecticut. And so she made these little stuffed dolls, and they were funny looking. And she sold 80 of them at Laguna Beach in the summer festivals. That's how she got by.
Well, you could sort of imagine that is she's figuring out these ways, and this worked through maybe a little therapy working through the problem she had with the aunt as well. I mentioned you touch on some of the vibes you capture Southern California. You've got an interesting scene there that Felicia visits a drive-in church. Talk about that. It's only in Southern California would you have the minister projected on a large screen at a drive-in theater.
When I was writing this novel, I had more fun doing the research. I went to a drive-in church.
Amazing.
I'd never been to a drive-in. It was like going to a drive-in theater.
Yes.
Just the minister was up there talking.
You know,
people were in their cars all over the yard.
Eating popcorn, watching a 20-foot minister on this giant screen. I mean, it's just
right.
Such a... I mean, as you sort of picture this in your mind, and you actually visited, and I've heard stories about this, the Roy Rogers Museum.
Tell us about that.
Because
it was just full of stuffed dogs and horses.
I've heard that for years, but that's actually true.
It is true.
Well,
I had fun doing the research for this novel.
Well, I can imagine that. Felicia visits that and so much more in Southern California. The book is available at, of course, Amazon, all the usual places. urlincpublishing.com is the publisher. You'll find all this information on this and all of Evelyn's books at evelyn-cole.com. And, of course, you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I understand that you are not writing what novels anymore. You're focused on poetry. Do I have that correct?
Well, that's because I'm so old that I don't have the energy to write a novel.
Interesting. So now, what was the last novel? Was Gambling for Good Meal the last one you've written?
No, the last one was Call Me Mary and Do Call.
Okay, and again, those are all available. You can find those at Amazon, find those at Evelyn-Cole.com. I'm trying to rush it there, and Evelyn-Cole.com. It's all on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you'll find all the information there as well. Talk about poetry. You're still writing poetry. What is it about poetry that you enjoy so much?
Well, I've always written poetry, and it's something that I have to do. So I just thought I'd take all my poems and publish them, and I've got two books published now, or three, and I've got another one coming out pretty soon on tape, too.
Ooh, now that's something that's new with on tape. How does that work? How do you like that, having the book on tape?
I like it because, for poetry particularly, because you don't read poems in order like you do, you know, yes. a regular novel. This, you just read one page at a time and respond to it and take time with that one page. You don't, you're not supposed to read more than three pages at a time, so you have time to think about them.
Is that sort of the beauty of poetry? So often we see people that buy a book of poetry and then you read a review and they read it all like in an hour and a half, and I'm wondering if they're really getting the full benefit.
Oh, they're not getting it at all. So that's why I wanted to be on tape, so people driving in a car could just listen. If they go in just to the grocery store, they can listen to a couple of poems.
From a writing standpoint, is that a fun part of this for you in writing poetry? You can take your time. You can let it develop. You don't have to rush it. It's not like you've got to write three or four chapters today because
no,
the book's due to be published.
If you can write one poem in a day, that's the first draft.
Well, yes, exactly. I get the impression that you sort of take in everything around you. You talked about going at the airport and listening to people's stories. And you're a people watcher and really, I think, understand and appreciate what's going on around you. So often we go through life so quickly, we don't do that. Is this something that you enjoy doing, sort of looking around
the
surroundings?
Oh, right. Well, because I did enough analysis of myself with a lot of group therapy when I was young, and it was invaluable. It saved my life. So I read a lot of whatever comes to mind, and it could be funny. I read a lot of funny stuff, too.
Yes.
Because if something just strikes me funny, I write it out.
Well, and I'm sure you'll find that in the Gambling for Good Mail, just some of the stories and what goes on in life in Southern California. Let's go back to that for a second. You talked about therapy and how it was life-saving for you. Talk about that time. I know you got involved in the 60s in that lifestyle out in California in
right.
going through the psychotherapy sessions. Why was that so valuable for you?
Well, it had to do with marriages. I married a man that I knew in high school, and I married him after I graduated from college, and he was still in college because he'd been in the Korean War, and so I, you know, just got I thought everything was fine, and it was fine for 11 years. Then one day he beat me up totally. And he beat me up because he was a foster child who did not know his own name. And I found out about foster children that they have a terrible time with living.
Yes.
So anyway, I had to get divorced because he beat me up twice, even though I had two little kids, so I had to get divorced. But then in those days, if you were single, you couldn't eat.
Oh, exactly, yes.
And I got of course I got the advertising job and then lost that because I couldn't get the money I needed. And so then a substitute taught in a high school in a French job because I had so much French in my background. And I had so much fun. I thought, wow, never occurred to me to be a teacher before that. But I decided to get my credential because at least teachers could get the same part. Salary as men. Women
yes.
could get the same salary as men. But I had to be married to get my first job in a junior high. Or I thought I had to be, so I don't know where it happened. But anyway, I had no food and two little girls, tiny. And so this man married me. And it was okay. I felt like I had to get married, but I couldn't buy a house without him. And he had GI Bill, so we bought a house that was very nice near the beach. And then it was just, he worked at nights, and I was teaching during the day. And I found out, I divorced him within 5 years because he stopped working. so my reason for marrying him was an income, and now all of a sudden I had no income.
Yes.
And so I just sent him away. He left the house to me because he had no desire for it or anything in it. And so I had, at least I had a house to live in. But it was a terrible, terrible marriage. And then the second marriage was a terrible marriage, and that was the man who rescued me. And so I had to send him away. And then the third man was a man I'd been teaching in a nearby school, who was a chemistry high school teacher, and I thought he was fine. But when his father died, he quit working altogether, and I didn't have enough income to support both of us my kids. And so it was a mess, the first three that I lived with. And so that's when I knew that I had to do something therapeutically with myself. I kept marrying my mother each time. And when I went through therapy, I was able to move to San Luis Obispo, Northern California, and meet the most wonderful man I've ever known, who was just like my father, and I married him.
And had a very successful marriage, I understand, that went on and was a sort of a picture-perfect marriage.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was pure heaven for me, though, all 20 years of it. He died when he was 96.
Just in a,
he was 10 years older than me.
Are you going to write a biography? You've got an autobiography. You have so many great stories and things that you've accomplished in your life. That would be a fascinating read. I want to see, one story I read as an English teacher, you required the students to write every day and show you, the teacher. And you wouldn't actually, you would save it, not read it until the finals. And then you would you would compare it. Talk about that concept, because I love that, where these students could actually see the progress they've made in during the course of taking your class.
Oh, just by writing.
Yes.
Just by writing, they get better and better.
That's
at it, you know.
It's amazing.
If they have to write every day, they're bound to get good at it.
Well, yes. And obviously had a talented teacher that was able to bring that out of them as well. And I mentioned that online, known as the Whole Mind Writer, and I mentioned the Astrological Philosophical Cooking Blog. What exactly is that? And are you still doing that? That obviously caught my attention.
Oh, no, I have published that blog on my website because I used to love to cook. And I even, you know, use all Wolfgang Puck recipes and things like that. And anyway, when I would do all this fancy cooking, because I just loved to do it, and I didn't have to work because I was married, so it was
yes.
I had a good time. But when I had to give up cooking because I broke my leg in so many places that when hospital people lifted the blanket, they gasped.
Wow.
Luckily, I couldn't see it. But anyway, it was February of 2020 that I broke it, and I'm still walking with a walker. But I don't mind that. And it's just... I can't cook anymore. So I'm living in an assisted living.
Oh, yes.
Not assisted living, but independent living. But I get food.
Well, yes. Yeah. Don't have to cook, and you can, get it that way and enjoy that. There's so many interesting stories to talk about. It's been a pleasure having you with us on the program. The reason we're talking is Gambling for Good Meal. This book is so well written. As I say, the capturing California compared to John Steinbeck, a book called A Roaring Triumph and a finalist for the prestigious Eric Hoffer Award. And this book and all of Evelyn's books available at her website, evelyn-cole.com. And you can go to the publisher, urlincpublishing.com. All this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And have a great read and some laughs along the way. And it's a story that will touch all of your emotions, Gambling for Good Mail. And I understand, so, okay, no more novels to talk about, but maybe a book of poetry, and hopefully we can talk about that at some point.
Well, what I just wanted to show you what kind of a character she was, that Felicia was how she, the last line of the book. She's talking, her beloved niece has died, and she's, of course, heartbroken. But she says, it was the three-penny opera all over. Oh, no. She glanced at her husband as he peeked at her over the top of the newspaper. She said that she no longer believed in God. And that was her last line, but she said that she prayed. And it was a kind of a strange combination of saying that
yes,
she prayed but no longer believed in God.
That is interesting. The book is so well written, and again, it's available now, Gambling for Good Mail. You'll find it at all the usual places. The publisher is urlincpublishing.com. At Evelyn's website, evelyn-cole.com. Evelyn, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. I hope things are going well. Hope the leg... how are you doing now? It sounds like you're getting around okay?
Oh, yeah, I still use a walker, but I can get along. I even tried... rock and roll dancing the other night.
Oh, very good. Very good. Well, can't keep Evelyn down, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about the next book of poetry that'll be coming up here. Evelyn, happy holidays. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today.
And thank you so much, Brick.
You're welcome. The book is Gambling for Good Mail, just one of many you'll find written by Evelyn Cole at her website, evelyn-cole.com. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.